Hey, welcome to Ascent this Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas, everybody. I'm Bill Stevens. I'm the lead pastor here at Ascent. So good to have all of you guys here today. Now, my dad's would be a little bit disappointed because there's still a front row on this side that's empty. And when we grew up Catholic and we went to midnight mass, we'd always get there around 12:10. And my parents would parade us to the very front row and we'd walk right over to the side and we'd sit down in the front row and the priest would stand up and say, "The Stevens family has shown up. Let us pray." That's the way it always got started. So if you have an obstructed view seat because of our nice post there, you can certainly come up here and sit in the very front row. There's a spot here for you guys. We love it. You guys, you just heard all about the Christmas shop. It is the DNA of what we do around here. We just so much want to bless the city. I got a couple of nights where I got to sit there and walk through the shop with some folks. I used my broken Spanish and a lot of the folks were speaking Spanish, so they used their broken English. And, you know, I can say, yo hablo español un poquito, and I can say, necesito ir al baño. That's the only thing I got from the 3 years of Spanish from high school. And so it was hard, but there was something beautiful about it. There was a God connection that happened. And when you passed them off to a volunteer and they walked them through the shop, there was a God connection that was happening all the way through to the very end. And it was the generosity and the gratitude and all of it mixed together. It was a magical moment. It was holy ground. And so we are super thankful that you've all given and that you all participated in that. You guys, 8 years ago, what Chris was saying, 8 years ago, there was 160 gifts. Since then, over 30,000 gifts have been given to kids. And tomorrow morning, 2,000 kids are going to wake up to gifts under the tree. So we are super, super thankful. It is one that deserves more than a golf clap. Deserves more than a golf clap. Come on. It's beautiful. We love it. We love it. Hey, look, I know that it was hard for a lot of you guys to get here. I know that. I know that for those of you with kids, you guys, you got that new Christmas sweater for them and it wouldn't fit over their heads and they're complaining because it's scratchy and all that. We know that there was might have been a few fights today. There might have been a few fights on the way here. You might have fought on the spot that you parked in. We know that that's all part of what's happening right here. We know that there's going to be some of you tomorrow will get to be with family and some of you tomorrow have to be with family. We know that all of that's part of it. You know, Terry is our assistant children's person here. And she said, you know, when I describe my family, I just say it is a lovely mix of messiness. And I just said, Terry, you just described all of us. You just described all of our families. You described for many of us our year, a lovely mix of messiness, the really good and the not so good. It's all of that is together. A lovely mix of messiness in your job, a lovely mix of messiness tomorrow and the next day as you are hanging around possibly with some more family, a lovely mix of messiness with the joy of this and the grief of this season for some of you. It is a lovely mix of messiness that we all get to come in here and we get to come together in that. And what better night to do that than this night, Christmas night, because 2,000 years ago, that was a lovely mix of messiness. I mean, you think about that. What was the conversation like between Mary and Joseph when they hear that a census is being taken 3 days' walk away in Bethlehem? What was that conversation like? For Joseph to say to Mary, I got to go do this census thing, so I'll be gone for a little while. And Mary's saying, are you kidding me? You're going to be gone? I'm 9 months pregnant. You're just going to leave me here? Well, yes, you're 9 months pregnant. I got to leave you here. You're going to tell a 9-month pregnant woman what to do at this point? It was a lovely mix of messiness. We don't know if that's exactly how the conversation went, but it had to be something like that. In the midst of that and the birth and what was a manger and animals around, there's also angels singing, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace on whom his favor rests. And so it was a lovely mix of messiness. Tonight, I want us to sit in that for a little bit because all of us bring it. If you are someone that says, my family isn't a lovely mix of messiness, have you had middle schoolers yet? It's a lovely mix of messiness. And I love middle schoolers. But come on, we all are carrying all of it. Let's admit that together and let's step into this a little bit, okay? Father, we pray that you would bless this night. We are so thankful to get to gather together, and we pray that you would speak to us, that you would slow us down enough. So many people with so many things going through their heads right now about what's next. We pray that you'd slow us down enough to get to hear your story of you coming into this world. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, 2,000 years ago, four guys set out to write about the life of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, okay? Each one of them had an opportunity to write whatever way they wanted to write on what they saw on that first Christmas. And what I love about it is they each chose a different way to do it. John wrote about light and darkness and said, light pierced the darkness, and the darkness didn't understand it, and the darkness couldn't put it out. I love that because it's like that draws you right into the story. You want to know more about this light and this darkness. Luke was the doctor. And Luke, man, he set out to write about all the specifics. He says, I want to give you an orderly account so that you know exactly what happened. So when we see the nativity scene and we see all that stuff from the nativity scene, that's all coming from Luke because he gave us an orderly account of exactly what happened. Matthew, he did it different. Matthew starts his gospel in a strange way, which is interesting because it's the first book listed in the New Testament. If you're someone that's never read the Bible before, you'd think you'd start with Genesis. That's the very beginning. But if you get any encouragement, you'd say, it gets really hard in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So why don't you just go start in Matthew? Go back to those later. Start in Matthew. That's the very beginning of the New Testament, Jesus' life. Go start there. This is what you would read if you started in Matthew, okay? This is how Matthew depicts the very first Christmas. Get ready. An account of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. And Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Aram. Aram was the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. You guys, Matthew keeps going. That's only half the genealogy. He goes all the way back to Abraham, and the way he wants to start it is to write this big old genealogy. That doesn't get us excited about reading the Christmas story. In fact, Amazon did a study. They said 64% of us will stop reading a book if the first few sentences are not intriguing or inspiring. 64% of us will just quit on the book. I thought, is that really true? So I went back to some of the great books of literature and I thought, how did they start it? Is it inspiring? Look at this one, you guys. Call Me Ishmael. Call Me Ishmael. Is that something that draws you in? Who knows where Call Me Ishmael is from? Moby Dick. Okay. You know what? I was so curious. I went to some other ones. Keep track. I have five of them. And so this is your little mini Christmas Eve quiz for all of you lit majors, okay? Keep track of them. I have nobody that's gotten all five of these right, okay? Next one. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Tale of Two Cities. There you go. Okay, Dickens. If you knew Dickens but you didn't know a Tale of Two Cities, I'll give you a half point. Keep going. Next one. This is one of the great romance novels of all time. It's a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife. Does anybody know that one? Uh-oh. There's some that have it. What is it? Pride and Prejudice. Okay. If you're 3 for 3, you're doing really good. John Woolner, our discipleship pastor, he didn't get any of these right. And I only got one. This next one. What's this next one? Mr. and Mrs. Dursley of number 4 Privet Drive is proud to say they were perfectly normal. Thank you very much. Harry Potter. Now, this last one, if you got 4, this is the big one. And this is probably the most classic of all literature. It sounds like Jesus that's saying it, but it's not. What is it? I've never given much thought to how I would die, but dying in the place of someone I love seems like a good way to go. Twilight. That's Bella. Did anybody get 5 out of 5? No, nobody. One person, you shouldn't lie on Christmas. You shouldn't. Yeah. 5. That's the only person that's gotten 5 out of 5. You guys, the way it starts is super important. Matthew did not start it with in a way that drew us in. Why did he start it this way? And why in the world would anybody preach on this on Christmas Eve? I don't know, but we're going to do this, okay? Let's go back. Let's go back to when Matthew started. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He went all the way back to that time. Here's what was happening, you guys. The people of the Bible, man, their faith, they had a fantastic faith. They had a faith where they saw God at work. And they read about God, and they saw, they started to know his character. In Exodus 34, it says this, that God was compassionate, and he was gracious, and he was slow to anger, and he was abounding in love and faithfulness. They start to get to know God as abounding in love and faithfulness. That word faithfulness in Hebrew is a word called emet. It's this word, and it's my favorite Hebrew word. It's the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the middle letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And it's saying God is faithful from the beginning to the middle to the end. And the people of the Bible would worship God. They'd go to the synagogues and they'd worship God because he is faithful. They'd worship him because his love was abounding. They'd worship him because they saw him do miraculous things. It was a beautiful faith that they had. But at the same time, they struggled. Their circumstances throughout those years were challenged. The Persians would challenge them. The Egyptians put them into slavery. The Babylonians sent them off, separated from family. The Romans oppressed them. These people at one point are worshiping God, and at another point are saying, God, do you care? Are you there? Are you loving? Are you faithful? Because it sure feels like you're skipping us over. And so they went through that massive range of issues of faith. Well, then this guy starts writing about something to come, a guy named Isaiah. He says, look, I know it's been rough. I know your faith is challenged. And so he starts writing about it. He says, look, but here's what's coming. A wonderful counselor is coming. An almighty God is coming. An everlasting father is coming. And a prince of peace is coming. And the government will be on his shoulders. And his kingdom will have no end. So Isaiah writes that. And what do the people do? They start worshiping to that hope that they have of what is to come. And so they're worshiping God, saying he is love, and they're worshiping God, saying he's faithful. They're worshiping God with great hope. And at the same time, they're questioning God and questioning his faithfulness. And what happens when you've got hope? Sometimes you have to wait. What happens when you have to wait? Sometimes you grow impatient. And so now there's this impatience. God, come on, when? You guys, you know what I'm talking about? A lovely mix of messiness. And that is our faith. See, we all want to have this perfect faith. And even on a night like tonight, you come in here and you go, lots of people have a perfect faith and I don't. There's no such thing as a perfect faith. Come on. We all carry a lovely mix of messiness when it comes to our encounter with God. And so we all sometimes feel like we're skipped over. You know, some of us, you look at somebody else and you say, man, you got the love that I wish I had. You got the marriage I wish I had. You got the kids I wish I had. You got the family I wish I had. You got the job I wish I had. You got the finances I wish I had. Come on, God, you skipping me over? Jackie and I were talking about this. My wife and I were talking about it. And she said, sometimes we look at Old Testament people and we look at them as mythological characters. But the reality is they're people just like you and me that walk in here tonight and you say, my faith is a lovely mix of messiness. I thought about this in light of Christmas morning, and I thought, when I was a kid, me and my three brothers would wake up in the morning on Christmas morning, and we'd come down the stairs and we'd look at the tree. We weren't allowed to go near the tree. We just had to look at the tree and look at the gifts underneath the tree. And we waited for mom and dad to wake up, but we went to midnight mass, and so my mom and dad were super tired, but we'd wake them up really, and we'd let them sleep in till 6 o'clock, and then we would wake them up. And they'd get up and they'd go downstairs and they'd putz around in the kitchen and they'd make coffee and they just stretched it out as far as they could. And it just drove us nuts. And they finally said, it's time for us to open the presents. And we get there to open the presents. Now, this is where some of you guys really make some mistakes, okay? Some of you guys make piles in front of each of the kids. You don't do that. That's not in the book, okay? Some of you let your kids just tear at the gifts. That's definitely not in the book. Here's what you're supposed to do. You sit there, and the one person gets to open something, and they open it. And if it's clothing, they try it on. And if it's a toy, they take all the little things in the toy thing, and they unzip them all up, and they got to get all the toy out. And then it's the next person, and they do the same thing. And when you get done unwrapping it, you get up to your mom, and you give her a kiss on the cheek. And you go to your dad, and you give him a kiss on the cheek. Thank you. And then you move on to the next person. That's the way you're supposed to do it, okay? But every once in a while, you'd get the shaft. Every once in a while, you were the one that didn't get it, what everyone else got. You'd have, my brother would open up the newest version of Pong, you know, and some of you guys that are younger have no idea what that is. I'll change it. My other brother opened up the Atari 5200 Super System. See, now that's better. Then it'd be me. It's my turn, and I'd get this, and I'd go, I don't feel like an Atari. And I'd open it up, and it's like, underwear? Okay. You'd open up the underwear and you'd go, yeah, but next time around. And then it'd be my little brother and he'd open something up. Mom and dad would open something that we bought the day before from Target, you know, just something we put a lot of thought to. And then we'd go back to each one of us, you know, basketball or baseball, come back to me and I'm opening the second part of the package of underwear. And I'm thinking, okay, next one around. You get around to me that time and dad would go under the tree and say, I don't see anything left for Billy. Okay, so he don't get anything, Glenn, so the rest of you guys keep opening. You sometimes feel skipped over. You sometimes feel like, did anybody get you? Did anybody understand what I was really hoping for? Now I exaggerate. That didn't happen to me. Mom, I know my mom listens. Mom, that didn't happen. But you did give my daughter the same gifts you gave her the year before because you were going off of last year's list. So she just opened the same presents. You don't know that happened. Now you know. You sometimes feel it. You sometimes just feel like, man, what happened? Now, I joke about it with underwear, but we know that this gets serious, right? It gets serious. You wish you had the health or the gift of love that seems to have passed you over. And so you wonder, is God loving? Does he care? Is he faithful? Sure feels like I haven't been opening the gifts that I've wanted to open. On this night, 2,000 years ago, Matthew is saying that little town in Bethlehem, all of those years of the very good and the very bad, all those years of the lovely mix of messiness that has been your faith, all of those years, it comes to this point on this night. Because on this night, nobody is skipped over. On this night, God enters into all of the lovely mix of messiness that is you and me. On this night, he says, you've been waiting, and I wait with you. You've been grieving, and I grieve with you. You've been hurting, and I hurt with you. You've been wanting, and I want with you. You've been thankful, and I'm thankful with you. See, on this night, Matthew is saying, all of that we all go through, this is when God meets us. Now, he has a perspective, Matthew does. Because remember, Matthew gets to see it from it coming to fruition. Matthew gets to see that a wonderful counselor has come. He's going, man, he always had the right words to say. He gets to look ahead and say, that kid that's born in Bethlehem, that kid ends up being an almighty God that conquered death. Matthew gets to look back and see that he was an everlasting father that gave us courage to keep going and walked with us all the way through. And Matthew gets to look back and say, and he was a prince of peace that calmed our fearful hearts. See, Matthew sees that perspective and say, he is love, and he is faithful, and he is here. He's saying, my friend Luke described it this way. He described it by saying, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And of course, they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that causes great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. See, Matthew's going, do you see what Luke just said? The giver has become the gift. The giver of life has breathed life. The way he says it is this, later in chapter 1, he's going, look, I know I started it boring and 64% of you have left. 36% of you are still with me. So listen to what he says. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him what? They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And this is why the angels went nuts. And you guys, he's saying nobody was skipped over. You might feel like, well, not me. I was just dragged here by a neighbor. I want nothing to do with this. He's not skipping you over. You might say, I don't know if I believe all of what you just read. I don't know if I believe it. You're not skipped over. You might say, dang it, I wish my mom and dad would have come. The empty seats are not skipped over. God has come for everyone. For everyone, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter race. It doesn't matter political affiliation. It doesn't matter gender. It doesn't matter sexual identity. It does not matter. It doesn't matter if you doubt like crazy. It does not matter if you have never gone to church. It doesn't matter if your prayer life stinks. It doesn't matter if you've never read this before. It doesn't matter if you've heard this story 40 different times for 40 different years and you haven't let it sink in. God has come, the giver has become the gift, and he's not skipping over you. That's what's important, you guys, today. Christmas Eve, this gift is for you. Now, we got to open it. We got to open this gift. You know, like I said, my daughters would get that Barbie doll, and they'd twist off that back, and they'd get the shoes out, and they twist off the back, and they'd get the clip for the hair, and they'd twist off the back, and they'd get that. The swimming Barbie was a weird one, man. They went like crazy at their arms. When they opened it up, they wanted to see the entire thing, and God is saying, open this thing up. Matthew's saying, open it up. Because here's what's going to happen. God's going to meet you in the midst of your messiness. He's going to meet you in it, and you're going to see a wonderful counselor. And you might say, yeah, but how will I know that that's God's voice, a wonderful counselor? How will I know? You won't fully. Come on. That's part of our lovely mix of messiness. But here's what we do know. And when someone hands you that passage of scripture, or you finally open up that Bible and it starts to speak to you, and you go, I don't know why that speaks to me so much. Well, that is a wonderful counselor. And Almighty God, how will I know that God's going to meet me in the impossibilities of life? And you won't fully know. It's a lovely mix of messiness. But I do know that we put a lot of things on the shelf of impossibility. We say love, again, impossible. We say reconciliation with my family, impossible. We say, will I ever get over that addiction? Impossible. We put on the shelf of impossibility, and Matthew's saying, you know what we put on the shelf of impossibility? Jesus. We said when he died on that cross, there is no way that story went anywhere after that. But instead, he rose from the grave. He met us for 40 days. He ascended us, he ascended into heaven, and he gives us his Holy Spirit. That's an almighty God that makes impossible possible. You say, yeah, but is he an everlasting father? How will I know he'll be there for me? We won't know for sure. We won't know 100%. You will question that as part of a lovely mix of messiness. But Matthew knows. Matthew knows that Jesus stuck around all the way through. I think about my son when he jumped into the water for the very first time in a pool at Silverado Condos in Winter Park. And he jumped in and he grabbed me by the neck and he's strangling me and he's saying, "Daddy, don't let me go." And I said to him, "Jack, I will never let you go." And we all know as parents of adult kids, you got to let them go at some point. But you know who won't? God's not going to let us go. The very last words that Jesus shares, that Matthew shares to us, that Jesus said is, "And I'll be with you always to the very ends of the age." That's an everlasting Father. A Prince of Peace? How do I know it's a Prince of Peace and not just a good therapy session? How will you know? You don't fully know. But I'll tell you what, for those of you that carry anxiousness, like I sometimes carry anxiousness, and it feels like a weight on your heart that you cannot get rid of, and you're worried about the people, the closest people around you, or the things that you value the most, and you can't get that weight off of you, and then every once in a while you start to breathe, and that's below heart, that's below mind, and that gets to soul level, that is a peace. That is a peace that comes from the Prince of Peace. When we open this thing up, we start to see that he is abounding in love because Jesus is love. That he is faithful, and he was faithful from beginning to the very, very end. And what happens as you go on this journey, as you start to sing, your soul starts to sing. I mean, sometimes it's outwardly when things are, I think, easier to sing to, and sometimes it's not. And you're going through the grief and the struggles that you face, and you're going, "I can't sing out." Your soul can still sing out from the inside because God has become the gift. And in the last 6 months, I've been singing, you know, "I see you on the mountains, and sometimes I see you when the mountain's in the way." And we sing songs like that, that's saying, "God, you are faithful through all of it." But not tonight. Tonight we're going to sing different songs. Tonight we're singing songs of birth. In fact, the worship team's going to sing Noel over you. And Noel in French is Christmas. Noel in Latin is birth. And we sing of birth because the giver of life has breathed life. And when we're done with that, we're going to light some candles. And we're going to sing a lullaby to Jesus. And why will we sing that lullaby? Because that baby is the giver of life. And we will sing in thankfulness to that baby. Man, I hope you all have a really great Christmas. But my prayer more than anything is that every one of you, remember, none of you are skipped over, not one of you, no matter where you sit right now in your walk of faith, or even if you say, "I got no walk," you're not skipped over. I want to challenge you. Open it. This year, open it. The givers become the gift, and that is going to be the greatest gift you will open. Father, I pray. I pray that on this night, you meet us all. I pray that for the people in this room that were dragged here tonight and fought this whole time, just fought. "I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this." God, I pray that you would jump right into their seat and help them to see, man, I'm not skipping you over. This is a gift to you, and it's me and my love. I pray that every single one of us in this room would recognize that you are love, and you are an abounding love, and that you are faithfulness, and you will be faithful from beginning to middle to end. Lord, I just pray that in the midst of all the chaos and the messiness, in the lovely mix of messiness that is us, I pray that each one of us would recognize that you meet us in it and are walking right there with us. God, help us all to grab hold of you, Emmanuel, that you have come. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.